ninth chapter, sixth verse. All those who are able, and if you don't mind, stand in for the reading of the word of the Lord. I want to make it clear that you're not standing for me, but in reverence for the reading of the word. Isaiah, ninth chapter, sixth verse. For unto us, me, you, a child is born. To us, it's me and you again, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't get how people can argue over what God's name is. There is no J in the Hebrew alphabet. His name is not Jesus. Yeshua. According to this, it's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You call him what you want to. Jesus, Yahshua. My grandmother called him a bridge over troubled water. Whatever your relationship is with him, you don't have to call him Jesus like I do. For a moment today, just for a moment, I'm going to talk to you from a text entitled, A Son is Born. Of course, Deacon Marshall already knew that. A son is born. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, thanking you for what the world called Christmas. But we come to you right now, Lord, thanking you that a son was born. Not just any son, Lord, but one that would bear our sins. One that came to make our crooked road straight. One that came to lift our heavy burdens. Father, we thank you for the son that was born. Not only do we thank you that he was born, Lord, but we thank you that you allowed him to die for such a wretch as us. As your word go forth, Father, we ask that it penetrate hearts and minds, not just in the sanctuary, but on Zoom also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The deliverance of the world is predicated on a little baby boy born to a virgin and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, if I was God, I would have never sent a baby laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes to deliver my people out of their oppression. I would have sent a warrior on a horse with a spear and a gun and some grenades and an AK-47, at least some mace. From heaven's point of view, the birth of Jesus was spectacular. From earth's point of view, it was mundane and disappointing. From heaven's point of view, it was awesome to think that the ever eternal, everlasting, immutable God would wrap himself up in flesh and come in tabernacle amongst men. From man's point of view, he was born on a hit list. They were trying to kill him before he got here. There was no room at the hotels. not in the Hyatt, the Holiday Inn, the Embassy, the W, nowhere. He couldn't even get an Airbnb. He was born to a virgin who was trying to explain to her boyfriend that this is not what it looks like. I can't explain. From Earth's point of view, no palace, no guards, no plush surroundings. It was just ordinary, mundane. And for all the people who use that as a callous to say that we shouldn't have anything, okay. But a barn? I know women who won't have babies in certain hospitals because they don't like the service they receive there. They don't like the way the hospital look. It's dingy, it's dirty. They don't like where it's located. It's in the hood. But Mary had Jesus in a barn. So from Earth's point of view, there was nothing wonderful at all about his situation. There's nothing to brag about. You wouldn't post this on your Facebook page. But don't let people tell you that just because your external circumstances are being challenged, that there is no Christ there, because Christ came in a barn. But the glory of his coming was not in the crib or the bassinet that he lay in. It was not in the environment surrounding him. The glory that really matters in life are not the tangibles or the intangibles, because I know a little bit about that. See, I've had it both ways. I've learned how to survive with nothing, and I've learned how to survive with a little something. And trust and believe when I tell you that both have their own set of challenges. His coming into this meager environment is not a suggestion of his mediocrity or an endorsement of poverty or his celebration of notoriety. It is him stepping outside of all of that to say none of that makes a difference. What really matters isn't what you eat, it's who you eat it with. It's not about if the mattress is orthopedic. It's about, did you get some rest? You can have a bed made out of gold, but if you can't get no sleep, what's the purpose? What's the point if someone gives you a big, beautiful gift, but they don't love you? And somebody else gives you a cupcake with a candle in it and tell you you're the best thing that's ever happened to me with a tear in their eye. Now that's a gift right there. The question is, it's not a question of if the ultimate purpose of him coming into the world was to redeem the world from sin and death, to deliver us from the law, to set us free from our own human depravity, ultimately to destroy the works of the enemy, that through him our enemy might be destroyed by the precious blood of the Lamb, that he might render him helpless and bruise his head for the things that he has done to us. And it was his ultimate purpose to fight back the forces of evil that you would never be able to master. And while he was walking toward his purpose, he did some other stuff also. Like being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Healing was just a byproduct of what he was already doing. He said, since I'm coming through, yea, though I walk through, I might as well take these stripes for your healing and pay the price that all manner of disease may be removed away from you. I bore your transgressions. I carried your sorrows. To those of you who are carrying depression, why are you carrying what I have already carried? I bore your grief. I carried your sorrows. I took that whooping for you. That's why when the saints come together, especially on a morning like this, it ought to be a celebration for Christ. You ought to be able to sit here this morning and look back over your life and think to yourself that there was a time when I didn't have nothing under a tree, if you even had a tree at all. And there was a day when you can look back over your life when you were just, when you wasn't where you are today. And when you think about it, it wasn't Mother Nature, it wasn't Father Time, it was the God who sits high and looked low, who carried you when you couldn't carry yourself, who healed you when you were sick, who blessed you when you wasn't worth being blessed. And the reason we have come today, make no mistake about it, is to celebrate him in word, in song, in prayer. As a matter of fact, let me just make this disclaimer. If you came here for any other reason today than to lift up holy hands, then you are in the wrong place. If you came for any other reason than to get a good cry in about the gift God gave you that keeps on giving on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and January and February, I came here today with one gift, and that was to let you know that unto us a son is born, and this is the day that we celebrate his birth. This is the day that we celebrate divinity becoming humanity. This is the day that we celebrate humus becoming logos. This is the day that we celebrate God becoming one of us to save us. This is the day that we celebrate the pathological construction of the sky, that when one star gets happy, he outshines all the rest of them. It's the day that we celebrate wise men who came from afar, not just to give gifts, but to worship him. It's the day that we celebrate virgins having babies. It's the day that we celebrate old women getting pregnant. It's the day that we celebrate the word made flesh, because unto us a son is born. There is no question that hell got nervous when they saw him coming. That's why he was born on the hit list. They were trying to stop him from reaching his purpose. When you are sent on a purpose, there will always be obstacles set against you that are unfair. And the obstacles that come against you come because the enemy knows where your destiny is going to take you. And he's trying to sabotage your progress. And I came here on this Christmas morning to remind somebody that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but he was born in a barn strategically. That was no accident. Can I tell you what that means? That means there's a purpose for your problems. There's a purpose for your pain. There's a purpose for your adversity. It's not that God can't get you out of it. It's not that God can't fix it. But if you have a problem and God doesn't fix it, there's a strategy that he's using. He hid him in a barn, locked away where he could not be detected. Put him in a place where only the wise men could find him. Sometimes God will allow you to have a problem to stop your enemies from having access to you. And he'll put you in a place for a while. But the Bible says that after you have suffered a little while, Anybody in here done any suffering lately? He said, I will establish you and make you perfect, but I won't do that on the front end. I'm going to do it on the back end, so you're going to have to suffer for a while. When Mary and Joseph had Jesus, they had to go on the run. You spend 24 hours at the hospital and they send you home. They had to go on the run. They had to hide him in Egypt for 2 years, living on the run. Can you imagine the Savior having to live on the run? I imagine if somebody met him while he was on the run, they'd probably say, he don't look much like a Savior. You see, some people will meet you at a time in your life when things aren't going right, and they'll judge you prematurely because they can't see your ultimate destiny. Had they seen him then, he didn't look mighty. He didn't look like a conqueror. He didn't look victorious. But the reason I like this text is because it looks at it from a personal point of view. And he says, for unto us, a son is born. Unto us, a child is given. He did not come to just redeem the world or rebuke the enemy or to set them free. He came the way any lover ultimately comes. Any lover ultimately ends up coming to the place where he wants to understand your point of view. Now, I get it. When the Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, you cannot live nor love effectively somebody you don't fully understand. The Bible tells men, and living with women, deal with her according to knowledge. He said, you have to know her in order to be able to stay here. Because if you don't understand her, it's going to be some problems in that house. And since Christ is married to the church, he said, I'm going to have to know you in order to dwell with you. So he came so that he could see what it was like to be you. Without him coming, he would not know what tired was. Without him coming, he would not know what sleep was, because in his eternal state, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. That's why you can pray at 3 a.m. and you don't have to worry about waking him up, because he neither sleeps nor slumbers, because your 3 a.m. is somebody else's 12 noon. So he can't go to bed, because somewhere in the world is somebody else's day in the middle of your night. So he cannot sleep or slumber so that he can be available to you at all times. But he came so that he would know what sleep was, or loneliness, or emptiness, or temptation, hunger. He came so that he could be touched by what it's like to be you. That's why he said joy comes in the morning, because he's here with you while you're crying in the midnight hour, but he's also in the morning preparing a place for you. That's why he said in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, because he's with you where you're at. He's already where you're going, and he's walking with you on your way there. Christmas is about a God who is so in love with you that he is willing to see your world from your point of view. And he comes and he tries on your clothes and he puts on your flesh so that when you are trying to pray, he will understand what it is that you are trying to say. I went to a Christmas party Friday night. And it was all right. I had a good time. And I made the comment that it don't really seem festive up in here. There were no Christmas decorations. They didn't even have a Christmas tree. No Merry Christmas, nothing. And I said, it don't feel like Christmas up in here. And then there's always that one, y'all know him. Well, you know, it's not Jesus' birthday anyway. Yeah. Wasn't no snow on the ground. Actually, he was born more than likely in the springtime. It's a pagan holiday. And he went on and on. And because they know this walk in life that I do, they love to mess with me. But I've made up my mind that you mess with my kids, we're going to fight. Because I have to protect them. But if you mess with my Jesus, I really don't want to serve a God who needs me to defend him. If he needs me, we in trouble. Because once I run out of bullets, what we gonna do? That's why he sent the son. So I said to him, I'm not gonna really argue with that. I get why you say there's no snow on the ground, and I get why there was no violins planned, but I don't care. I don't care if it was winter. I don't care if it was summer. He could have been born in the middle of July for all I care, because I don't care when he was born. I care that he was born. And that's what I celebrate. Because I have an auntie. She's 108 years old. At least she will be in February. 108 years old. At least that's what we think she is. Because no one really knows for sure. See, because back in that day, we didn't really have access to all of the records. So nobody really knew if grandma, big mama, was 105 or 108. She's somewhere in that proximity. Because we didn't have access to birth certificates and stuff. But we didn't care when Big Mama was born. We just celebrated that she was born, and we picked the day, and we baked the cake, and we threw a party, and she knew that we loved her, and that's all that matters. I'm not going to argue with you about the weather on December 25th. I ain't never been to Bethlehem. I don't know. As a born-again, blood-washed, sanctified, spirit-filled child of God, you can't stop me from praising a God who loved me enough to come where I was. I'm not arguing with you about a date or what he wore or where he was. I don't care. I care that when sin had me shackled and I was bound in bondage, when all hell was breaking loose in my life and I was at my wit's end, when I was suicidal and taking pills and trying to die and nobody understood what it was like to be me, I care that he loved me enough to come where I was and feel my pain and be touched by the feeling of my infirmities unto us. a son is born. Finally, somebody to understand my moanings and my groanings when my soul gets overwhelmed. Somebody to understand how I wrestle against my own struggle and weaknesses and temptations. Somebody to understand the difference between wickedness and weakness. Somebody to understand my ups and downs, my changes and turnarounds. Somebody to understand that how they don't get me in life, how I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do, why I walk with a limp and why I wear my pants with my butt hanging out. Somebody to understand how I can be born a man and identify as a woman. Somebody to understand why I don't do what I want to do. Unto us, a child is born. So that God could understand you. He was born. And I thank God for it. Because he looked beyond my faults. Unlike some family members. Unlike some friends. He looked beyond my faults. He ain't never reminded me of the honey bun I stole when I was 9. He looked beyond my faults. I did everything they said I did. If you hear a rumor about me, it's true. But he looked beyond my faults. And he saw my needs. And I did need an AK. I did need an Uzi. I did need mace. I did need a sword. All he needed to deliver me from the hands of my enemies was a child. Unto us, a child is born so that he could see life from your point of view. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And if you need some peace, he is the Prince of it. He's altogether lovely, altogether wonderful. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your strength. He's Ezekiel's will in the middle of the will. He's Moses' rod. He's a friend to the friendless, a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. He's a doctor in a sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a heart fixer, a mind regulator. He's my way out of no way. He's my all in all. Unto us, a son is born. Stand on your feet all over the buildings, if you would, please. Doors of the church is open.